This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Get up. IGN GameScoop.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead. No, sorry. You can start the show. I'll tell you after.
Okay. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne.
Hi, everybody.
And Tina Amini.
Hello, hello.
And we have a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Sam and Tina were just at an event for this game this morning. Hopefully, they have something to report. There's a new trailer out now. We also got to talk about the continued frustration of the Final Fantasy VII remake. But first, let's begin with The Last of Us Part 2, because there's lots of news about that game this week, including its release date, finally. We know it is coming on February 21st, 2020. I don't know why they couldn't go to 2020. That would have been cool. Much
Did you cooler. Look up what else was coming out, like, right in that region?
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to talk about.
What a coincidence.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
That is exactly the theme of this week's show.
Okay. Is it a good month or a bad month?
Around February is pretty much belongs to. Stop trying to get ahead of ourselves. Last of Us 2. How are you guys feeling about this game now? It's 6 months away.
So I finally saw a trailer that I kind of, or like footage of this game that I really like connected to, and I thought, oh, I can't wait to play this. But it doesn't look fun. It looks kind of scary, kind of sad.
That's the point.
Yep. And I'm really looking forward to that, especially after coming out of it. I was just talking about this in at the event we were just at, but after watching Breaking Bad, I was like, oh yeah, sometimes I do like things that aren't fun, and I want to get in and play this intense game. And then I hear from Jonathan that sneaking is really good this time.
The stealth stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And I love smart stealth games, and I do remember thinking like that was my favorite part of Last of Us.
For sure, but weirdly, he spends a lot of time talking about the combat too and how Ellie can dodge, she can jump, she can do some other cool stuff, she can like lay prone and whatnot. So there's more stealth elements, but there's more combat moments too. So clearly there's this emphasis on close encounters. So I don't know how I feel about that, because I liked doing everything from a distance or sneakily, like going just close around somebody.
I wonder if the dodging and like, so he was saying like because you're smaller, you can be faster and nimble.
Agile.
Kind of get out of situations. And he said that caused him to run away a lot. Like just power down a road and
which
then hide.
Which is very not The Last of Us.
It's not at all. And I think that's cool because it'll be like you're diminutive and small and like can actually maybe more effectively hide instead of like Joel, which is always just kind of like, can they really not see him behind that cabinet?
Nope.
I can see his back from like everywhere.
His whole arm is out. It's like out in the open.
Yeah, with a gun in the end of it, just going like this.
It's video game leniency, guys.
Yeah. I think Naughty Dog is one of the absolute best developers in the business, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of easy. They've been dark and quiet for so long now, sort of working on this. It's easy to sort of forget. It's like, oh yeah, a big AAA studio from one of the absolute most talented, like I don't know how many, they win Game of the Year almost every time they release a product. So very, very excited. Although I was not that, I like Uncharted more than Last of Us, just generally. But the sequel looks, you know, amazing.
Yeah. February 21st, do we think this will be the last big PS4 exclusive?
In 2020? Hopefully not.
Because PS5.
Oh, I see. Of course.
Yeah. I think so. And this will get a port to PS5 and it'll be really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that would be really cool if PS5 came out in the summer then, so we didn't have to wait a really long time for a bunch of good first-party games.
There's a lot of, you know, as we learn more about the next-gen consoles, which, by the way, Sony's never officially, announced PS5. They say next PlayStation. Yeah. And they've never said 2020. Like, we're all just kind of assuming.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
A lot of these games, and I know we're going to get into more of them, but, like, Last of Us, you know, Cyberpunk, like, they exist in this odd space where, like, you want to play them right when they come out, but it's like, you know, that you're under a year away from like, you know, a superior, presumably, you know, smoother, better next gen version.
Yeah.
I assume part of the reason why we're seeing so many, this is sort of conspiracy theory that I don't necessarily believe, but might believe. Mm. Part of the reason why we see so many frame rate issues on games that have just come out, like Borderlands has it, Control has it. Yeah. Control has it bad, even with the patch. So on PS4, I just assume, and developers have told me this is not the case, but you never know. But I just assume it's because they're sort of working with the understanding that PS5 is just going to operate so much more fluidly for the games that they're going to inevitably port over. Hmm. And that's why it doesn't perform as well.
Yeah.
Put on your tinfoil hat.
This is not adding to that conspiracy theory, but Zelda doesn't perform well. And like, there is definitely no like idea that there's going to be more Switches out. And that's so disappointing to me. It's like, really, we're going to have a couple more years of like Link's Awakening style games not working well on the Switch.
Isn't that weird? Why...
Why make it? You guys are Nintendo.
But have you tried it on the Switch Lite?
But that game's amazing, and I'm not knocking it in any other way. I haven't tried it on the Switch Lite.
Well, that's a joke anyway. Yeah. Well, you get better battery life? Like,
yeah.
What's interesting about Zelda is they went to a seamless overworld. That's like the one big major change they made to that game from the original Game Boy version that used to be segmented into screens.
Oh, I actually haven't played it yet, so I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so it's not in these like grid, you know, the map is the same, but it's seamless.
Yeah,
and yet that seemed to introduce this, weird, you know, technical issue. Like,
it's probably exactly what happened in 1993. They're like, no, we can't do seamless. And then they're finally like, we can solve this. And then they're like, we couldn't.
But that's so probably just
30
because
years later, didn't
that's
work.
Probably just because Nintendo is planning on the Switch 2 coming out in 2020.
That's what I was going to get at with this.
Year of the next gen, yeah.
Now we know all the stuttering out there. It just means the next gens are coming.
Yeah. That's what it is. We solved it.
It is a plague right now, though. And like, I hope that we get a couple years of non-stuttering next-gen games before they're like, oh, we'll just save that for the PS6.
Control in particular is doing crazy stuff with like lighting and reflections that like other games aren't even really, like they're a step ahead. Like if you have a really high-end, crazy NVIDIA GPU, like that game's doing things that are not common.
And that's why ray tracing is so big right now, because developers are so keen on lighting because it adds to that realistic environment. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously like a really big next-gen factor.
Ray tracing is a new IGN editor. Yeah. Everest Tech.
Yeah. He sits next to Rich Snippets. what was I going to say now? You know what? Even Chugs on the Wii, or even has stuttering issues, is...
On the Switch.
Or on the Switch, is Puzzle Quest.
Oh, no.
I've been playing Puzzle Quest. It's still really fun. But it's a 12-year-old DS game that, like, if you pull off a spell, sometimes the game will be like, what?
Just because it's, like, based on mobile hardware, and, like, it is trying to do amazing things with that, and it's just...
It is incredible that, you know, that same console can have The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, which is, you know, beautiful and expansive. Yeah. And like,
I don't get it.
I am aware, you know, that it's cutting corners in like interesting ways with like textures that are transparent to the audience. Like, Nintendo's very clever about their hardware, right? But then you have a game like Puzzle Quest that just can't quite get there.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't know why.
You know what doesn't stutter? What, the golf?
Oh, it's so good.
Game of the year. No, I don't know.
You're loving that, right?
I love that game. Justin loves it too.
I think What the Golf, I was just saying at lunch, I think that's my game of the year so far.
And nice. This is, well, you were saying that's that about really cool. Mario Maker 2. So What the Golf is better than Mario Maker 2.
I'm going to be honest. I forgot about Mario Maker 2. I'm so enamored with all the Apple Arcade games that, I actually did. I loved playing as Banjo and Smash so much. And I loved Mario Maker 2 so much that my Switch was like, you know, like I was draining the battery almost every single night. But ever since Apple Arcade, that's all I'm about now.
Yeah, I still need to check out the Apple Arcade stuff. I hear nothing.
Oh, it's really
nothing
good.
But good things.
Grindstone and What the Golf.
Yes,
I got What the Golf, but I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah,
I can't wait to play. It apparently has a bunch of jokes about other games, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's immediately goofy and you're just like, what is this game doing? This is ridiculous. And you're shaking your head at it in a really pleasant way. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of references to other games. So it's basically game of the year because there's there are 20 games in it.
There's a whole series of super hot levels. It's like,
yeah. What? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Slight spoilers.
I was telling Miranda that that a couple people in the office love that game and I was going to play it. She's like, I hate golf. I was like, that's funny because the tagline for this game is a game for people that hate golf.
Yes. So it's perfect. Perfect for her.
So I know you can use you can use your console controllers with iOS games now. Is it what the golf game you would want to use a controller with?
You don't need to.
I mean, all on your phone, right?
It's all optional. Like it's not it's mandatory.
Just to know if it like works well for that.
Yeah, I feel I don't want to speak like I haven't tried it with a controller, so I don't know. But I feel it's optimized for touch.
Yep.
And it feels really good on your phone and flicking with your thumb.
Yeah,
it's very simple gameplay mechanic wise, so you really don't need it. And it feels like it's made for that, as Justin said, optimized.
I need to play Grindstone too, because that's a puzzle game from Cappy.
Yeah.
Cappy. The guys, don't forget, this is the guys that did Heroes of Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's an incredible puzzle game on DS and on Xbox Live Arcade. But they also did Critter Crunch way back in the day too. Critter Crunch was so good.
Yep. Cappy's another company that's been quiet for a long time.
What did Cappy do?
Well, they did Below. They did Swords and Sorcery. What's that game called? Sorcery. Yeah, they did that game. What was the
Sword
Time Sorcery. Time Shooters? What's the time?
Oh yeah, I forgot that.
The
was
The side scrolling.
Yeah.
With the dinosaur that rides a skateboard. Time.
It's not time. It's
not time.
Something is it? Something Force.
Time. It's not Super Time Force.
Super Time Force. Yeah.
Super Time.
That game was really cool too.
Grindstone's hard actually, in a good way. It ramps up.
I don't stop until I get three star every level.
Yeah, there you go.
And Grindstone?
Mm-hmm.
What the golf too?
Same.
Did you guys see The Last of Us 2 at Horsies?
I didn't see that.
You can ride
horses.
That's not a new edition.
Well, could ride horses in parts of the old game.
Yeah.
But in this one, I think it's in the last two Uncharted games, there's been Jeep areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have an industry term for like it's not an open world game. It's a wide linear game or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Those areas are really cool. And it would be really exciting to me if that's what you did in those, is like had a place to ride and like go out and explore and like scavenge and stuff like that. That would be a good match for
just
that.
Keep up your bonding with your horse.
Keep up my bonding. An apple every once in a while.
Yeah.
Brushing.
Maybe a carrot.
They
said the good brushing.
There you go.
Yeah, you got to brush the horse. I'm paraphrasing, but they said it's like their biggest game, right? Like the biggest
game
Naughty Dog has made. And I'm like, they make pretty, like Uncharted 4 was like pretty long. Like it felt like a very lengthy, satisfying adventure. So it's like, man, damn. Like,
yeah, to be fair, though, it's supposed to be like most developers' latest games are their biggest games ever.
Yeah.
They always say that.
No, they do, like, but there's the expectation to make it bigger.
That's a good point. It's not like now it's much smaller.
You really scaled back with this.
I don't know. Sometimes. There's something to be said about a nice, beautiful 5 to 10 hour game.
Like Control, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Or like, or you know, a specific like Cyberpunk is obviously much smaller than like Witcher 3, but it's so dense and layered that you know it's making up for that pure like mileage in other ways.
Yeah. The other bit of news about Last of Us 2 that we learned today is that it's not including the multiplayer mode from the first game, which I never played, but I know it was supposed to be good and had a dedicated following. So some people were disappointed about that, but it's apparently just too big a single player game. But that's Sony's whole MO this whole generation.
It's on two Blu-rays.
Single player games. It is on two Blu-rays? Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know, like, or any other, I can't think of another game that's done
Fantasy
that
7 Remake.
But do you remember when like...
Maybe.
No, it is.
The first packages.
The first game. Yeah.
Yeah. In the PS1 generation, like that was like a selling point. Like this game comes on 4 discs.
Well, yeah. Because in the 16-bit generation, it's like this cart is 12 megs.
Yeah.
The 12 meg cards.
Can you imagine all those megs? You can't.
All right. Every time we get a new release date for a big game, I like to update our game release calendar. And this is a selected game release calendar going into the next year, 2020. This is not an exhaustive release calendar. But beginning next week, we're going to continue the fall release schedule with Ghost Recon Breakpoint. That's October 4th, next Friday. I don't know if anybody's excited about that game. Sam, do you want to retell the joke you made yesterday about that game?
More like...
No.
I can't remember the joke. You can go for it. Can you deliver it well?
Well, we'll see. I'm paraphrasing. Okay. You had said if this game ended up not coming out that would generate more traffic for us. Than
that was a really mean joke that I don't think we needed to share with
the audience. That's why I was asking.
Okay.
It does not
You had
seem...
your chance to stop me.
Well, I would have.
More he had no idea what he was getting in for.
Ghost recall? Okay, I got there.
Yeah.
I got there.
Was that a joke?
Yeah.
It wasn't my joke. My joke was mean and funny.
You could be like Terry and just say a joke and then say, that's funny. That's a funny joke.
You laugh.
Oof, warm in here.
But seriously, if that guy, any game gets canceled at the last minute, that's a big story.
Well, that's true.
Well, that's true.
I'm not a Ghost Recon guy. I think this looks really cool. I don't really understand. Like, Wildlands had buzz behind it and was pretty popular. And like, as someone that doesn't play these games on the outside looking in, I'm like, this seems really cool, but it doesn't seem to be generating the same.
Yeah.
You know,
Wildlands sold really, really well.
Yeah.
Doesn't like... We don't hear a lot of talk about it in our audience. I don't know. If Ghost Recon Breakpoint is fun to play by myself, I'll check it out. Perhaps a little bit more interesting to the wider audience out there on October 8th will be Burger Time Party.
Mm. You included only the AAA games on this list.
Yeah, I mean, I threw in that quadruple A just because it's such a big deal. Burger Time Party it's spelled with an exclamation point.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually liked the art style of this
one. Good. Confirmed.
And to be fair, it can't be any worse than Burger Time World Tour.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Who has this Burger Time license? What are they doing?
That's what I was just wondering. I'm like, who do you need to speak to make a Burger Time game?
Did you see the news today that, you know,
it's a great game, the first one.
This is a press release I got today. At Games. Do you remember what At Games is? They make bad like shovelware knockoff consoles of like the Sega Genesis and stuff.
Yeah, they got in big trouble.
Yeah, they did. But also today they sent out a press release that they have acquired the rights to Ms. Pac-Man. At Games claims they now own the rights to Ms. Pac-Man.
No, but that's like the big controversy is that
I'll show you this press release I got.
Like the what is the like the like game like the character?
The game and the character.
The story
and
is the that, assets that Namco like, Bandai, you know, said that they weren't acting in good faith.
But Namco like, Bandai doesn't own Ms. Pac-Man.
No, they don't. The Midway.
Yeah.
Or so whoever developed like it for Midway.
General Computers or something. Yeah. Anyway, we can talk about that
so
later.
So weird.
Yeah. On October 25th is The Outer Worlds. There's actually a bunch of games out that same day. Call of Duty and Medieval Reboot. But The Outer Worlds is the one that's really exciting to me.
We'll definitely play.
Yeah.
But that's another game that just keeps showing up at like conventions. And then it was on Xbox's Inside Xbox show this week. And it's like, all right. I don't need to see any more of this game. Just deliver it when it's ready. On Halloween, we get Luigi's Mansion 3, which I'm excited for.
Year of Luigi.
Yeah. I haven't played either of the previous Luigi's Mansions, but I think I'll play this one.
I've played them and I've never beat one. I've always played a lot.
Really hard.
I did like half the strategy guide for one, somebody else, or for two, and somebody else finished it. But they don't get hard. They just get a little bit slow. And there's like not enough that keeps me drawn in. Like, I wish they had like... It's kind of about exploration, but it's really slow exploration, like check every drawer in a room exploration. That just doesn't grab me as much as like, ooh, what's the secret passage that leads to this area? And then it's like Metroid-y and comes back. And so it doesn't have any of that. It's just like, go to this room, clear it out, walk to another one.
It seems like there's some cute puzzle solving in the game.
Luigi's hilarious.
Luigi?
Luigi's disgusting. Luigi's hilarious though. And he's just kind of just terrifying mumbles throughout the entire game, and it's such a funny, stupid theme.
He sort of talks to himself. It's like they've really stretched it. Like, how does Luigi keep getting himself into these situations?
And Mario keeps getting kidnapped.
Yeah, is that really what happens?
That happened at least in one of the games.
Oh, yeah,
because remember he's looking for Mario.
Is he kidnapped though? I don't know. I'm genuinely asking. Was Mario?
Well, I've just told you, Damon. I've never beaten one, so I can't tell you what happens at the end of them.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
You missed the Halloween game.
Which one?
After Party. I think it's the day before.
Oh, yeah. It's like 29th,
yeah.
I want to say.
Sounds right.
I don't know what to make of that game.
I don't either, but I liked Oxenfree so much.
You liked Oxenfree, right?
Yeah.
I didn't play Oxenfree.
Oh, still?
I hear it's just a lot of talkie-talky.
No, there's walkie-talking.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it gets
walkie-talking.
If you're a fan of walking CB. Really slow.
I think I might want a little bit more out of my game.
If you're a fan of trippy sci-fi-like stories...
I mean, it's light on gameplay, but it's an experience. Like the soundtrack's really cool.
Soundtrack's amazing.
And like every single screen you go to is just like really interesting to look at.
I like it because it's
like the characters are well written.
It's well written, and it's well written about kids, and the kids act like kids. So it's like that Goonies type of vibe where it's just kind of funny to see a bunch of kids interacting with each other that are, you know, like actually filmed right.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's about drunk adults.
Yeah, I think nobody.
The teens grew up to drunk adults.
Mm-hmm. Nobody writes teens.
Right? Wait, is it related? Is it in universe?
No, okay. I don't think so.
It's those kids.
Twist.
Dead.
Yeah, but they died.
I mean, that's what happens in that game. Is that
spoilers? Jeez. Well, now I don't need to play them.
But you know, I don't really like heaven hell themes too much in games. But I do like the idea of like playing up this like bar hopping like thing in it. And I'm sure it'll be funny.
You drink with Satan.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the game.
The whole point.
All right, Death Stranding, November 8th. Where does everyone come down on Death Stranding today?
I like that controller, the orange one.
You like
it? Yeah.
I thought it was cool too. I was disappointed that the baby was not actually in the controller.
Well, everybody was like, when it first was revealed, everybody's like, oh yeah, the baby's in the little controller part at the bottom. Actually, I think it's just controller parts down there, but that would have been really funny.
That would have been great.
Put the baby in the controller.
Just rattle around. What if it was full of liquid?
Yeah. Like
that would be cool.
Just goo suspended in there. It's gross and wonderful.
You're in now, right?
I'm what?
You're in now, right? After we talked about suspended goo?
In now.
You're in.
With Death Stranding.
But that's not a real thing. I would have liked it.
We can fill your controller with goo, Damon.
We'll do it for you, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do it live.
Thanks. Yes.
All right, we're going to bring it on the show. We're going to get some goo.
Okay.
I'm thinking like this will be egg white consistency.
This will be perfect for Game Spook, our very special episode.
Ooh, spooky. Are we going to do one?
Yeah, we're going to do one.
All right. But Game Spook doesn't actually spell Game Scoop if you... Well, if you spell it with a C.
Yeah, if you spell it with a C, it does.
Nailed it.
Also, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have the rule isn't that it has to be an anagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100% the rule.
But you know what?
Name one exception.
I can't.
Game Spook. Game Spook.
But here's something that's bugging me.
No, besides that one.
You said one.
Game Spook is just the perfect name for a Halloween episode. But here's something that's been keeping me up at night.
Okay.
What do we call our holiday episode? I can't. Nothing works. And I'll throw this out there to our audience.
Gift Scoop. Guys,
Gift Scoop, maybe. I don't know. It's not quite as catchy or sexy.
Maybe something more to do with winter.
Yule.
Like the time of the season. Time of the scooping.
Noel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snow Scoop.
This doesn't have to be.
Let's make it Snow Scoop and just have snow, scoop. Snow on really us good. The whole time.
That doesn't.
Because it's not a denominational.
I mean, yeah, really that's cute. Fine. But it should be like a.
It needs to be a little bit more rhymey.
It needs to be more punny.
Yeah. Well, we need more
time. Why,
but Snow Scoop is a pun on snowshoe. Think about
it. We're putting a pin in it. And if our listeners and viewers out there have any ideas, make sure to let us know. Anyway, like today, do you guys want to play Death Stranding?
Yeah.
Or because
absolutely
me, you do okay
yeah
me I'm just like I'll see what the reviews say about that
You're not going to play it just even for the purposes of being part of the conversation?
I don't have unlimited time to just whatever I want
what
anymore,
else is coming out that day you're going to play exactly
I'll probably still be playing Puzzle Quest
you could take the week off
you'll be playing What the Golf because it's so great
probably waiting on reviews for Death Stranding.
Really? I think that the fact that we liked Metal Gear Solid 5 so much
If it's half as good as Metal Gear Solid 5, I'll totally play it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to have those elements of just like way too much to do in some ways, and I just hope that part of it's fun. Yeah.
I'm going to pee on everything, just see what happens.
Can you write that as a story? What happened when I peed on everything?
Yeah, that's the way I played Metal Gear, is my only goal in life was to just Fulton everything back to my base.
I do like doing that in that game.
I think
even
if that game ends up being weird and horrible, it'll be interesting from a criticism point of view to just have that conversation.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to something that, you know, it does something different at the very least.
I'm surprised at the pushback. Like your opinion is not an uncommon one. People are like, I don't know about Death Stranding, but it's I wasn't the world's biggest Metal Gear Solid 5, you know, supporter, but like that game, most people think it's incredible and it won a bunch of awards and like,
it's been turned on.
It takes too long.
I don't know. It's like Star Wars got turned on. Like somehow a bunch of people don't like Metal Gear Solid 5 now. And I clearly remember everybody liking it.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that undercurrent.
It was a backlash about the story
why does this game, why this? Like the creator's last game is widely hailed as a masterpiece that's really beloved. So why are people not sure about
it? I guess
they
don't have the powerhouse of Konami behind them anymore.
Well, because the entire marketing scheme has just been a giant troll, and I think people got sick of it.
That's true too.
Did they take like because everyone was really into like oh it's so weird.
Yeah.
Then like eventually you have to like turn the corner and be like okay look here it is. And did they take too long to do that?
I think so. I mean, I think the story is fascinating. I think it was on Game Scoop at some point that I theorized what Death Stranding was about. I think fundamentally that story of. It's kind of heaven or hell, actually, if it ends up.
Sorry, Sam.
There's like a story. I don't mind afterlife stuff. I just don't like
it's actually not even really afterlife. It's not even really afterlife. It's like otherworldly.
Yeah.
It's like a parallel universe, almost like a different dimension.
Yes.
Living within our own dimension. So that's fascinating. If they just kind of came out and did normal previews and like hands-on previews and whatever else, I can't imagine there'd be this lingering conversation around this is weird. Why are we doing it this way? Why are these random cameos here? And having the emphasis be on those weird moments. And I think people get annoyed at that.
They had that presentation at Gamescom, not their stage presentation, but at the booth where, you know, some outlet, one of our competitors was the first one to sort of be like, hey, look, like they're telling you what Death Stranding is. It's like Norman Reedus is on a journey to go across the country and, you know, reactivate these relays. And then everyone on the internet was like, oh, why didn't they just say that?
Yeah. Why don't you lead with that?
Whenever we have this exact conversation in the office, this is Matt Kim's joke, and I'm going to tell it from his perspective. He always walks over, and this is the same joke. He has a cup of coffee. He just kind of stands there and listens for a little bit. He says, well, you know what I say about Death Stranding? It's either going to be bad or good. And then he says nothing else.
It's profound.
I think it's so funny.
Concise and wise.
Good one, Matt.
All right, that brings
shouldn't have kicked him off the show.
Let's not get into it, okay? I'm going to have to remind me to...
Atkib is not kicked off the show. He's welcome to come on.
Remind me to edit that part.
You're not even writing anything down. You're just moving your finger.
I'm writing it with invisible ink. That brings us to November 15th and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And Sam and Tina just played through the whole game this morning.
So. Tina's played most of the most of that game of anybody that's ever.
I spent the most time in this tutorial and then poor Damon had to leave and not see any of the rest of my demo.
Yeah.
That was the actual game.
The actual cool stuff after.
Yeah,
I mean, actually it was cool. The combat was really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that the combat is so complex. They had to have such a massive tutorial for it.
But there's little of that in the trailer that we saw today.
The combat.
Yeah, there's like a little bit. There's like one enemy. I was like, Tina, you fought that guy.
Yeah.
That was it though. And everything else was like, it seemed to be cutscene-y stuff. And there might've been a boss fight.
So there was some running.
Story trailer.
I like how it was a story trailer. Yeah, it was.
It was running.
There was the running, there was the fighting.
Dodging
and maybe
bossers.
Some boss fights.
And boss fights.
Is it fun?
I think it was too. I thought, it was complicated for me because there's so many moves and combos of moves and you have to remember like this blocks this thing, but then this guy is coming around this way and you dodge this way.
You were like dropped into like the late game Batman combat.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Like all the skill tree was unlocked. So it's like, you know, do you use the smoke?
So you're just getting thrown right into it.
There's
exactly.
I think about that at E3 a lot. Like there's games that are great and then there's games that like demo great.
Yeah.
And it's like if it's complex and complicated and you're thrown in, maybe it's like easier to slowly on ramp into it.
This was a longer demo than you usually get. And it makes sense because they had sort of at E3, they had this other area where you go and you sit down for a really long time. I mean, to the point that Damon had to leave at a point in time. He's like, Tina, I'm done with this. He had to catch his flight, I think.
I'm way too busy a person to sit here any longer.
Exactly.
He took a couple of slices of cheese from craft services and just
bounced. Yeah. But it was an abnormally long demo because of that, because it's like late stage Batman gameplay.
Was it fun?
It was fun. So yes, once I finally got through the tutorial aspect and I felt like I had a better handle of it, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Great.
And I liked the feeling, actually kind of relating it to Control, just in the way that you have different abilities and you're able to kind of like mismatch them in different ways. It has that same kind of fundamental understanding to the gameplay. And I really like that.
The presentation today won me over. Like I kind of didn't like what they showed at E3 and wasn't as impressed as it seemed like a lot of people were at EA's presentation. But I thought that trailer and the story beats and the intrigue that they're setting up, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
We ran a story today that like they've hinted at Darth Vader in like several different ways now.
They got that. They got the.
Yeah, they got that. And then also like they tweeted out a thing yesterday that was teasing today's thing. And it's just like a couple of, keyboard notes that is just the Imperial March. Kind of cool, but it's only the end of it, and that was really neat. But in the trailer today, I really liked the big monsters. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first thing that stood out to me. There's a big bat monster called
a duck,
and then a cute little duck that's 300 feet tall. And which would you rather fight though, 300 ducks or a duck that's 300 feet tall?
Classic question.
Yeah,
there isn't actually a bat and a duck, just so everyone knows. That's Sam's joke.
Wait, there is a big bat-like.
I mean, there's
monster.
A bat-like thing.
There's a duck-like one too.
And
it's got a duck butt.
Duck butt. Mm-hmm. Duck tail.
It looks like a duck tail.
Woohoo!
Yep. But I do like that they're showing those monsters, and I'm really happy that they're not Rancors, because mm-hmm. I'm tired of the same monsters appearing on every off-world planet and stuff like that. It looks like they're actually developing some new worlds. They were like doing this, like, we saw a panel and they were doing this big hint at like, oh, did you recognize that world? Can you tell us more about it? And then that Anthony Carboni was doing this interview, and then none of them answered that question. They're like, no, we can't talk more about it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't really know what he was talking about, and I think we had spotted Darth Vader's like a castle like thing on his planet. It slipped my mind right now while I was talking, but maybe, you know, you'll actually go there and it'll be a cool dungeon.
So Rancor fatigue.
Rancor fatigue.
Wow. I don't think I've been Rancored out yet.
But it's like just every game has the same, or like the,
I can't tell you a game that I fought a Rancor in.
You're in like the Force Unleashed, those tank games.
I didn't play those
like that. Or whenever you like, you're in a, when you play those old Super Nintendo games, and then it's just like,
who knows?
It's like, I think there's a bat in one part of Star Wars, and then the whole level is just like jumping on bats.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's good.
Stuff is very silly.
And then also November is a big month. November 22nd is Doom Eternal. And that's an interesting game because people really like Doom 2016, and Bethesda needs a win at this point. It's been like a year of bad news for Bethesda.
Rage 2 DLC came out today. Like this week.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's today.
But like,
yeah. Don't think anyone's talking about that very much. And I played a bunch of Rage 2, but it's just kind of...
Doom Eternal looks crazy.
Still talking about the helmet thing.
It feels like they struck the right balance between, you know, taking that sequel safe, but also taking risks and pushing what they started forward in interesting ways. It looks like it's exactly what a sequel should be.
Here's hoping it's good. Even Wolfenstein Youngblood was kind of like, meh. Didn't really work.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Doom, like, if they're going to completely abandon the space station-y, like, sci-fi part of it, which I like the best about Doom. Mm-hmm. And just like go complete fantasy, which it looks like they're doing. I think that's a good turn of events. Not my thing, but a lot of people are excited for it in our office.
Well, that's about it, I think, for the big releases of this year. There's nothing really big in
Pokemon
in December. Once again, this is reflected through my personal take.
You're not going to play Pokemon?
No, why would I play Pokemon?
You pre-ordered the Switch.
No, I certainly did not do that. But going into 2020... Right before, so Last of Us is February 21st, but you have 10 days before that to beat Ori and the Will of the Wisps before
the story spoilers.
I would assume
the
that's enough time.
What's that now?
Before the story spoilers come from the sequel, you mean?
Before the story, no, because...
No, before it comes out.
Before Last of Us 2 is out.
Oh, okay. Got it.
You can't play two games at once. Everyone knows that.
That's true.
I started Ori 1. I said, I'm ready for, you know, a cute but hard, you know, Metroidvania, you know, platformer game.
Gut punch.
And then, yeah, and then the intro just absolutely gutted me.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad.
But it gets a lot more fun from there. And then Gods and Monsters is 4 days after Last of Us 2. And if you remember that, this is the game I think just had a trailer at E3. It's from Ubisoft. And it's a very colorful looking sort of Breath of the Wild-ish game from Ubisoft. So there has been nothing about that game since E3. So that game might get delayed. I don't know.
Likely candidate.
If you just put that out 4 days after Last of Us Part 2 without a lot of fanfare, I don't know. And then on March 3rd is Final Fantasy VII Remake. Square Enix released the official box art this week. Mm-hmm. And the box art still does not say anything about it being Episode 1 or Part 1. And this drives me insane.
So we know there'll be two discs in that one.
Yeah.
We know it'll be Midgar. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never played this game only. But we don't know if it's going to give you like a voucher for the rest of the games or if it's going to be DLC or something like that. But it doesn't say it on the box.
They don't even know how many games it'll be.
We don't even know how many episodes.
Or whatever episodes.
So I don't know.
It's totally unclear.
This bothers a lot of people, and it actually doesn't bother me at all. Like, you're getting a full game.
But you're not getting a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
So I don't care.
You're
getting
crazy.
Like the first few hours.
Yeah, you're getting a remake of part of Final Fantasy VII.
Every single Square game has too many numbers in it. It's like 452 over 5, you know, and it's like they can't just put in this like part one.
I have faith in Square Enix. If you're looking at this contextually through the lens of Final Fantasy VII that came out, you know, whatever, 20 years ago, like, yeah, you're only getting part of a story, but I feel like this is going to be self-contained and satisfying on its own. Like,
that's possible.
If you never played Final Fantasy VII and you played this, I think you're going to come out of it feeling fine. It's not going to be like, let's finish the fight and then the game ends.
I'm sure that's the case. However, I think if you think about it on a technical level, there's two ways you can take it. One being like, yes, it's not a Final Fantasy VII remake in the sense of like the entirety of the game storyline, et cetera, will be in that one game. But also the technicality of a remake is such that, let's say they weren't even planning on doing other parts and they decided that Midgar was what they wanted to explore more so, and this was their creative direction for a remake, like a true, it's not a port, it's not a remaster, but a remake.
So I'm getting hung up on that it's not even a Final Fantasy game, because it's not if it doesn't have an airship.
Or someone named Sid.
Or Sid. Sid or airship.
There was no chocobos in Midgar either. You didn't see them till
later. No chocobos. Okay, it's not a Final Fantasy game.
Moogles.
At that point, it's not a remake and it's not a Final Fantasy game.
I think, well, I'm also a little bit biased. Like, the reason I'm not more upset is because Midgar, in my opinion, is like the superior best. Like, that's what lingers in my mind. Like,
not that, the open world and exploring mountains.
No,
and forests.
I think the first act of that game in Midgar is overwhelmingly the best part of that game.
What if they just do it Final Fantasy 7-2 remake, Final Fantasy 7-3 remake?
Yeah.
And they're all self-contained $60 games. And what they go through the acts.
What if the second half is just called Final Fantasy VIII Remake?
But I think they are going to have a hard time.
Are you just pushing for a Final Fantasy VIII Remake?
I don't even know what that game's like. I've never played it.
The game does have an open world. Like, you leave Midgar, and then it's open, and you get an airship, and you can fly all around. So I'm like,
you know, the fun stuff.
The shit. I think, like, it's easy enough to, like, do Midgar, and, like, you update it for 2019, and now this is a space you can explore, and I'm having a really
hard
time.
Didn't it take them 10 years?
I'm having a really hard time wrapping my head around how they will even remake the rest of that game. Like, up to a modern standard.
Don't they just use, like, a little overworld, like a tiny airship, and you just fly around and land?
Yeah, yeah. Is that what they're going to do in 2019?
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Well, probably 2020.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, we apologize for the interruption of your regularly scheduled Game Scoop. We had some technical difficulties. We lost the last third of the episode. I know we were just talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. We were going to finish up the game release calendar. We talked a little bit about Cyberpunk and then about Marvel's Avengers, and that wraps that up. Let's see, what else did everybody miss?
We lost all of that?
Yep.
That's a lot.
We missed the segment about the
we missed the
funny
Nintendo
Switch
download.
Games.
We had a good laugh at some shovelware games that were out on Switch this week, including Ball Attraction. That was pretty good.
I'm sad about that one. We had so many good puns.
We guessed Power Stone. Power Stone. 17 questions for...
They got Power Stone on Video Game 20 Questions.
Sam is being serious right now.
I'm sorry?
Sam is being serious right now. And I also
is this
told...
Is like a Telltale line?
Yeah.
Sam is being serious now.
We also got locked in the studio 2 weeks ago, and I told a funny anecdote about that. Mm-hmm. We're just going to miss out on that now. But we went home, got a change of clothes, came back.
And then we jumbled up the table for those of you watching and not just listening.
Places.
It is the next
some beers.
It is the next day for us, and we're going to...
What is it for them?
The same
who knows?
Day.
You should stop listening now and only
come back tomorrow.
This part the next day.
What we'll do is we'll check in with the listeners and then we'll do another round of 20 questions. And then that should satisfy everyone's need for Scoop this week.
Is it going to be the same game?
It's going to be the same game.
I hope so.
And the same question.
How many questions is it going to take?
Well, we
have to get it in 16.
We do have we do have repeats sometimes. And sometimes that doesn't help.
Nope. Sometimes it doesn't help.
Just like my pick of a repeat.
So that was The Saboteur?
Yeah. Yep. I didn't know it was a repeat. Sorry.
Okay.
But we didn't get it.
They didn't get it anyway.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey listeners.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Robert in Lansing, Michigan did. And that is Michigan, right?
Yeah, MI is Michigan. In Lansing, I've been there. You were supposed to play music before that part.
No.
I remember from yesterday.
I'll put some music in.
No, it was there yesterday.
God damn it.
He's gonna,
yeah, that was it. That was the one.
We'll do it in post.
That was Mega Man.
But what stage?
Dr. Wily's stage.
No, it was Airman.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. And Robert in Lansing, Michigan says, hey there, everyone. I love the show. I always look forward to Friday because of you all. Hopefully, you can also look forward to Mondays.
This is not going to get up today?
I don't know. We'll see.
Got nothing to do.
Listening to the Omega Cops patrol the world of gaming news feels akin to how Saturday mornings used to make me feel.
Well, that's sweet.
I don't know if I know what that means.
Saturday morning cartoons, yeah. And you get up really early and go watch Popples.
And that's what
the thing you're excited
that's what
for.
GameScoop makes them feel like.
I love it. Really warms my heart the number of people that have taken to this as being part of their weekend routine.
Yeah,
I
like it's
that
too. Three now.
Three people.
Yeah.
That we've heard
Bev and her husband.
Bev and her husband and Robert.
And Robert.
Yeah. And actually, maybe Robert hangs out with Bev and her husband.
Maybe. That's our Saturday crew. Shout out.
We do it for you.
Robert says, I only have two questions for everyone. Number one, does Sam like Mark Medina? He always gets so snarky with him.
I knew this was going to come up. Didn't we make that joke after Mark left?
Probably, yeah.
How much S-word did I give Mark this week, would you say, in the office?
Here's the thing. We all love Mark Medina dearly.
Yeah, he's amazing.
It's easy to tease him because he's a little bit younger and he's newer on the staff. And then he has some quirks where there's just like movies that literally everyone on earth has seen that he just never watched in his entire life. So it's easy to like to tease him about things like that. But we all love Mark.
I love Mark. I actually discovered Mark. He was at a GameScoop event or maybe it was an NVC event and said he really wanted to work here. And I worked with him on getting a job here. And he's one of my favorite people to work with. And what's great about Mark is that he can take it, but he can dish it out. He's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And he takes a joke and also can jab you right back.
Oh, yeah.
Also, he loves Final Fantasy X as much as I do and as much as everyone. Should.
Did that get a remake?
It's funny you asked that, Sam.
I would never say this to Mark's face, but I think he's one of the most talented, kind, awesome people that works here.
Mark, same. Mark is great. We always love having him on the show. Robert in Lansing, Michigan's second question is, the PS2 is my favorite past-gen system, and I'm curious, what games from the system would you like to see remade a la Resident Evil 2? Which is, of course, not a PS2 game, but okay, Robert. All right.
We get the point.
He was just illustrating two separate points.
I would have
That's a big mistake to allow a listener to write in with.
I would have given the example, Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
But they did that already.
That's what I'm saying. That was a PS2 game that did get remade.
Yeah. That's true.
I know what we're all thinking. We're all thinking Mr. Mosquito.
Clearly.
Mark Ryan, I asked him. I looked at our top 100 PS2 list and with Mark Ryan just now, and it was somebody who worked here for a long time, and he was looking at them, and there's so many bad games on it. And I was like, these are all games you like. He's like, I was very influential on this list. That included Guitaru Man, which I've never played.
That looks
cool. Yeah.
Is it better than Guitar Hero?
An example of a game that's on the list that was stupid was Transformers. I was like, what is this?
It's called Transformers?
Transformers, yeah.
There's a PS2 game that's just called Transformers, and IGN thought it was one of the top 100 PS2 games.
Mark Ryan did, because also God Hand was on there, and he was like a big advocate for that, but the reviewer didn't like it.
That still comes up all the time.
IGN reviewed God Hand and gave it a something. Mm. I've never trusted them
I think
since.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I've never
trusted Actually, I don't want to name the person that reviewed it.
Guitar Man, yes, is excellent.
Okay. I just think, because there were like multiple Guitar Hero games on PS2 that could have been on the list.
That's a good point.
But Guitaru Man's not a Guitar Hero, like, it's like a weirdo game.
Okay. It's not a music rhythm game?
It's a rhythm game, but it doesn't have notes coming down.
It was pre-Guitar Hero.
Yeah. My choice is Vice City.
That's a good one.
That's on my list.
That's my favorite Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that.
I think it's the only good one.
I went back.
There you go.
I went back and played it a little while ago, and it's hilarious how tiny the play, like the playable spaces. It felt huge. Like, oh, I gotta go all the way over across the bridge to the nightclub. But then it takes like 20 seconds to drive there. I don't know why. It's like the whole play space is like six blocks.
Yeah. The radio's so good in that game and the style is so fun. And it so would look good. Really good to like neon out a Miami like and contemporary graphics would be great.
I tried to think about ones that we don't have contemporary versions of because like GTA feels so current still. Mm. Although that definitely popped on my radar. But we haven't seen like a Prince of Persia game in a long time. And
that's
like,
true.
I love that series. I think it's been like almost 10 years or something.
There was that
one. Prince of Persia and I think 2008.
I love
but those. It was different from like the PS2 era game.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember how he got all gritty and weird in the sequel?
What about the movie?
He got all
We don't talk about
the movie too.
Gritty and weird in that too. Yeah. I always wanted apparently the Burnout era on PS2 was really good.
The Burnout 3.
That's when there was like puzzles and crashing and stuff like that. And right after that, it became a pretty straightforward racing game with Paradise.
I would love a remake of Burnout Revenge or Burnout 3 or any of those. Yeah, for sure.
That seemed like a good one. I was looking up a list.
They didn't remake. They did Burnout Paradise.
Paradise has a remake.
Which is it's not the same thing.
There's one like tumbly crash mode, but it doesn't have the same stuff. No. I really liked The Warriors, the Rockstar game that was licensed from one of my favorite movies ever. And it was a brawler, but it's like a 3D brawler and it really worked. But it's just, it really like told the story of the movie really well. And it had a good style to it. And I just thought it was really cool to bring like a cult classic or especially like a pulpy movie and make a game out of it. Like the biggest company in the world licensed that and made a game. Like do that more.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
To keep it on the Rockstar family, I've never played Bully and I feel like I really missed out.
I didn't either.
Bully's great.
Yeah. So
we've mentioned,
so you vote for it?
We've mentioned Bully, Vice City.
I haven't played
The Warriors.
Yep.
And then there's another Rockstar game from that era that's kind of an anomaly. It's table tennis.
But that was Xbox
360. Oh,
Oh, wait. Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when it came out, we were like, why wasn't this on Wii? And then it came out on Wii a little bit.
Okay.
We argued about that on this show.
What was that random car game that they made where you played against?
Midnight
Drift?
No, not that. You guys continue talking. I'll look it up.
I thought it was Midnight.
No, it's another one that it was sort of like an offhand. I'll look it up.
Okay. And then I looked up some other ones I liked from the time that also I played mainly on GameCube, but Beautiful Joe was really good. I don't know what happened to that series.
They made two of them.
It seemed to work really well for those
two. Did they make a DS one or a 3DS
one? I think there was one on DS or 3DS. Yes.
Good, like really good twitchy action game. And then Beyond Good and Evil is getting a sequel now, but I would totally expect that to get a remake.
There's an HD version of that on Xbox Live Arcade.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as good as 3 though.
Beyond Good and Evil was on my list as well. Really loved that game.
And then I don't like any of the Metal Gears on PS2 because I think they need some work. And like I'm just saying that because I tried them 10 years after you tried them, and you tried them when you were a little kid and had a lot of patience. And by you, I mean the general you out there. And so when I try to play these games, they feel terrible. And I really want to like them, especially 1 and 3. Hmm. I tried 3 so many times now. The DS one is so cool looking and everything. It's just so clunky. Be a really good game to have a remake with contemporary kind of game design philosophy.
Metal Gear Solid 3 is such a fantastic candidate for
Snake Eater
remake. That game, Snake Eater, has like a top 5 game trailer of all time, by the way.
And I know it's been remade twice already. For DS, and it got just remade by itself with a new camera, right? With a free camera.
That's true.
That was 1, I think, right?
No, it was 3. 1 got a remake also on GameCube.
Yeah, it was made.
3 had 2 releases, and the first one came out, and then they did Twin Snakes. Is that what it's called when it got again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just did another one on PS2. I don't know why. You were there.
I was serious about Mr. Mosquito.
Okay. Explain.
That is a weirdo. Do you know what this game is?
No.
Weirdo game from Japan that you wouldn't expect would actually get translated and ported to America. But it was. You are a mosquito. Your job is to suck the blood of a family in a house. And it has kind of like helicopter control, so it's not super easy to fly around and control yourself. Mm. But you're supposed to like sneak up on members of the family and suck their blood. And then as they're losing blood, they kind of start to go crazy and then start to put insecticide around the house.
Sounds great.
They present more and more challenges to you. It's like a totally weirdo, cool game.
The sequel should be Mrs. Mosquito.
Sure. Yeah.
To just go Pac-Man route.
Yeah. Mr. Mosquito is my father's name.
Smuggler's Run.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember the name, but I never played that game.
Yeah. It's like a competitive, you have to go into like it's like capture a flag with cars.
Mm.
If you're going to get weird with Mr. Mosquito, I'm going to say Ribbit King.
Ribbit King.
Yeah.
Is that like Vib Ribbon?
No.
Okay, different thing.
Ribbit King is a golf game, sort of, but what you're doing is it's a frog, but you're not hitting him in like a mean way. Like the frog's in on it. He's like on your team. And so I think you either,
thanks for qualifying.
You either throw the frog or, you know, hit him in like a cartoony way. And then he bounces all around the stages. And that's the game's whole conceit, is that you have absolutely no control. Like once that initial hit happens, like it sets off this chain reaction and the frog bounces all over the stage. And then you're just trying to win the tournament.
Cool.
It's great.
Sam, did you know there was a Rygar game on PS2?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. That was my first PS2 game.
By all accounts,
that's weird.
By all accounts, it was good.
Yeah, it was like a 3D game. Like you still throw your shield.
It was like a God of War style, mm-hmm. Yes. Action adventure.
It was
game.
Totally after God of War 2, so I think it definitely was a God of War style.
I got Rygar. I bought my PS2 on eBay, and it came with Rygar.
It just came with it. Okay, I was like, seek out Rygar. I see what's happening. It's this microphone. It's not Sam that always like trails off. If there's something wrong with the settings and the compressor on this microphone.
Oh, really?
This happens.
It's not me. I think I'm still trailing off. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I had one other that I have to unlock my phone to look at now because I forgot it. It's Katamari Damacy, we should talk about. But,
I thought I did.
Yeah, but Silent Hill is a game that I never played any of that series, and people like it so much that when we write a single thing about PT now, it's like the biggest story on IGN for the week. And like that series is so popular. And the fact that it doesn't exist right now is so crazy. Just grab that money.
Yeah.
Make that game.
They almost did. I have one. Kind of.
Which one?
Resident Evil 3.
Yeah. Wait. No, that was PS1. PS1.
Oh. But there are Resident Evil games on PS2. It's just 4 was 4. On PS2. Yeah. But there's also
they're
maybe
doing ports of that
Veronica
anyway.
Something. I don't know.
Code Veronica came out originally on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I don't it may know. Have imported to PS2. I'm not sure. We started this discussion mentioning that Shadow of the Colossus did get remade, and I actually never played Ico. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could do with a remake.
Yeah, I used to like that game a lot, but now I think it's really outdated. It would need a remake to make it worthwhile.
To fix some things.
I kind of think Ico does still hold up. It's just sort of like an environmental exploration puzzle game. I don't know.
I think you have to flip the disc in that.
No way.
It's a CD-ROM. I know that. It's not a DVD.
Weird.
I can't remember if it has two sides. Maybe it's just one side. That's a good moment in it.
All right. Well, that brings us again to Video Game 20 Questions.
Already?
And I don't think we got to hear this nice music.
How mad am I going to be if we lose? We listened to it last time.
I mean, very.
Yeah, but I don't know if they out there got to hear it.
Yeah.
So nice. First,
that's why I always try to play it all early in the show.
First, a couple rejections. Games we didn't pick. Neil recommended Doom Troopers.
On the Sega Genesis.
You know it?
I had it.
Well, there you go. I had never heard of this game.
It was one of like two video games that I bought specifically because of an advertisement. I saw an ad in a magazine and said, cool.
Would you have gotten that 20 question?
No, absolutely. No.
Is it it's like side-scrolling action game?
Yeah, it's Damon, you actually might. It's sort of claim to fame is that it's just way over the top gory and violent.
Cool. I'll look it up.
And disgusting.
I have ways of looking.
So now we know if it's Doom Patrol, we should ask, did Justin own this?
Doom Troopers.
Doom Troopers.
We need his full library in advance, though.
Yeah. No, just that. We'll know. I'm just eliminating one.
Also rejected this week, Quint recommended the game Bugdom. Anybody?
No.
Mm-mm. No. That's why.
What system is it for?
Like,
it's not for NES.
Like DOS.
Oh, cool.
It's like an old computer game. Bugdom. Never heard of it. I can't pick these games that no one's ever heard of.
I've played SimAnt.
Where's Jared?
However,
Quint
has another question. He says, in a story, he says, well, I finally did it. I listened to all of the Game Scoops on Spotify's playlist going all the way back to July 17th, 2010.
Whoa.
Fortunately, my job allows me to listen to music at work, so I would like to thank you for countless hours of comedy and education.
You can count them.
I was curious what your hobbies are outside of video games. Thanks again for all the laughs.
That really makes me laugh.
You can count them?
Well, literally.
It is possible to count them.
It probably tells you right on Spotify.
Yeah.
But maybe he wasn't entertained or informed by all of them.
Yeah. That's a good point. Mm. So that, you have to subtract the ones where...
That we're real boring.
Did we establish if Robert in Lansing, Michigan hates Mark?
Maybe.
It's just a projection.
Just asking
maybe
for
I asked
me
it,
to like... Yeah,
maybe
a
I asked with the wrong inflection. Does Sam like Mark Medina?
Even Sam doesn't like Mark Medina.
It's hard to read tone.
I like everybody. That's great.
Hey, hobbies outside video games.
I don't want to talk about this. We only play video games. That's all we do.
Don't want to talk about this.
What's a hobby?
This is one of my hobbies outside of video games.
Okay.
That counts.
Tasting?
Yeah.
I would say I'm a craft beer enthusiast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what I know about beer came from you.
I collect records, psych records, garage records, punk records. I'm pretty into that. I spend all of my time record shopping or fixing pinball machines.
I like hiking.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that too. Exploration.
Love water. Does that count?
I like Godzilla.
You do.
Is that a hobby?
Yes, liking Godzilla. Just thinking.
You just crawl.
Just thinking
about Godzilla.
Thinking about Godzilla.
One of my favorite pastimes.
Like you crawl
text,
building.
I like to text him and ask what he's up to. Just thinking about Godzilla.
Oh, you know.
I love thinking about Godzilla. I love flea markets. Those are great. I love old stuff. I love vintage clothes and vintage furniture, old houses. I love mid-century architecture, all that stuff too.
Okay, and finally, our actual Video Game 20 question suggestion comes from Ryan, who's from California, but currently in Virginia Beach in the Navy.
Is that a clue?
Let the questioning begin.
I bet it's California Games. Did this game come out before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Is it California Games?
Don't.
Pick a different one.
You're guessing that?
Tina's saying to pick a different game because I just got it.
But it also came
pick a different question.
This game came out after 2000, so.
Yes.
After 2000.
I mean, I know you're making a goof.
All right. Did this come out for the contemporary consoles?
No.
Is it part of a series? My classic question.
No.
Ooh. I like when it's no.
Is it a... Wait, so not the current gen consoles, but after 2000. So, okay. Did it come out for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 generation?
No.
Great. got Power Stone.
You got Power Stone.
And then you erased the tape.
I didn't do anything.
We'll put up the
likely story.
We'll put up the pitched down version.
Yeah, just as evidence.
Did this come out on a CD-shaped disc?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, the disc it is on is shaped like a CD.
Okay.
That's five.
It's not a GameCube game.
Or a Game Boy game or... Boy Advance.
Okay, so does that mean... So wait, so it's not PS3 or 360, but it's not now. That must mean it's late-ish era PS2 Xbox, right? Is this on the PlayStation 2 or Xbox?
Yes.
Nice.
And fitting with our last question.
Was it developed in Japan?
No.
Do you play in the first-person perspective?
No.
Is the developer still in business?
Yes.
It's the one-off.
It's a one-off.
What was the series
on
answer?
PS2. It's a one-off. It's not part of a series.
Okay.
Let's hit that genre.
Okay.
We know it's a PS2 or Xbox game, right?
Yeah.
Well, we just discussed so many PS2 games.
I know. We have a good sheet.
Oh, yeah. We can save it for the end.
Have we not mentioned this game yet?
Oh, come on.
I don't know how to answer that question.
The double negative?
Have you not answered
that? Yeah, as in like...
Mentioned this
game. Okay, hold on. Have you not answered the game?
Mentioned the game.
Mentioned the game.
Have you not mentioned the game? No.
Wait, shit.
That's 10.
Wait.
That means we did mention
it. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Oh.
This is the best day ever.
Could be Mr. Mosquito.
Should we ask like an exclusivity question? I can't remember what we were just talking about.
We can totally get it probably from here because it wasn't made in Japan.
Right.
We've mentioned the game. So it's one of the PS2 games we mentioned that's US, or, you know, non-Japanese developed. Right. Mr. Mosquito, I think, is Japanese.
And we only mentioned Rockstar games.
We mentioned like five of them.
It could be Bully.
Could be.
Because that one's not part of
the
series.
Was this game developed by Rockstar?
It is a one-off.
Yes.
Oh, come on, Damon. Pick a better game.
Do you? I had already picked it before.
Is it California Games?
Do you play as a bully?
Well,
I know. Yeah, you actually kind of don't. Do you play as a child at a boarding school?
No.
Oh. Shit.
What game did you mention?
The Warriors.
Oh yeah, good point.
Is this based on a license?
Yes.
What? How did this come up? This is just so weird to me.
That is weird.
All right.
It's so perfect.
Why are you mad? Be happy.
It's great. Yeah. Is it based on a 1970s movie?
Yes.
Okay. Is it the Warriors?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. You just happened to mention the Warriors. When we were talking about
super weird
two games that should be remade, I really didn't think you were going to suggest the Warriors.
Did you get nervous when he said it?
I don't get nervous,
oh,
but I make a point not to react.
Did you notice how he didn't talk until 20 questions after that point? Because he just clammed up. But
oh, the Warriors, that's so funny that you brought that up.
What game? Never heard of that game before.
I like the
Damon
question.
Just swivels away.
I like by asking if he got nervous, that implies that Damon like wants, like there's wants anything at stake at yep. all.
Well, because it like ruins the integrity of the game. And Damon cares about the integrity of the game.
Integrity,
right? Right.
That was Ryan.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Not Neil?
Nope, that was Ryan.
Okay. So, okay. Don't at me.
Yep.
Nice.
You want to do one more?
Yeah, right, absolutely.
One more. Because Robert really? In Lansing, Michigan also suggested one.
Oh. Okay.
But I picked Ryan's instead, but I remember what Robert's was. So, let the question begin.
What? Okay. What?
What was it from before 2000?
No.
Is it current gen?
Yes.
Did Justin own it?
We definitely okay. didn't mention it this episode.
Current gen. Is it on the Nintendo Switch?
Yes.
Ooh.
Let's get this in five, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, okay, is it a Switch exclusive?
Well, come on. Most of them are.
What?
No, it's fine. I'm just joking. Yeah, you can answer that. Yeah.
Sustained, yes.
Objection.
Yes, it is a Switch exclusive.
Yeah.
Switch exclusive. Well, actually, this can't be that hard.
Switch exclusive.
Did this get a retail package?
Yes. That's five.
Okay. Was it developed by Nintendo?
No.
Why are you doing that?
Oh, I forgot to play your victory song.
Oh, yeah.
Hit number five. Hit key five. Okay. That was for the last one, not for this one.
Okay.
I didn't even get to play Koopa's theme either. It's such a jam.
Let's just keep it on while we ask the rest of the questions. Yeah.
Gets me every time.
Okay. it was not developed by Nintendo.
Damon hesitated when he said that, which makes me think that he's pulling a Damien on us. It's like, because it's like, you know, it's like Smash Brothers or something like that.
It was published by Nintendo.
Well, but it wasn't developed by Nintendo.
What did we ask?
Did I ask that?
Which one?
You
I
asked,
think I asked. Published. He said
nope.
No, you asked developed.
Damn it! Every time, Damon.
Switch exclusive got a retail package. Probably was not developed by Nintendo. I can't tell if Damon's trying to be tricksy.
I said it wasn't developed by Nintendo.
Does this game have Nintendo characters in it?
No.
It's not Rabbids.
No, it's not.
That eliminates any.
Did we ask the Japan question?
No.
Was this developed in Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
I
bet it's like that weird Bomberman or... No, Blaster Master. Wait.
Was it critically well received?
Yes.
Octopath Traveler. Mm. I'm trying to think about Switch exclusives that weren't made by Nintendo. There's actually not that many.
No, not at all. Does this have a retro style graphics?
No. That's
Ooh. 10. Does it have 3D graphics?
Good question.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't have to define it this time. What a relief. they're not going to get that joke because they didn't watch that episode yesterday.
That was a Power Stone.
Should I explain what I mean by 3D graphics?
No.
Call back.
The question was, even when it's Power Stone, does it have 3D graphics? Well, it's not like you don't, there's no camera that you're moving around, but objects are rendered in 3D. Mm-hmm. So yes.
They're all on flat televisions.
Yeah.
What was the last question? Oh, yeah.
3D graphics. Graphics.
Yes.
So, Japanese made, Switch exclusive, got a retail release, mm-hmm. well received, mm-hmm. has 3D graphics, mm-hmm. no Nintendo characters.
So happy
not.
Justin's the designated driver right now.
Yeah.
It's very, very helpful.
Yeah.
The recaps are great.
I don't even.
It's not Mario Maker. Sorry.
I mean, there's not. Like, I really don't have it.
Giving up at 11.
Does this game have multiplayer?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Certainly, that's not what it's known for.
What Japanese game developers are making Switch exclusives? Like Sega or like, you know, Capcom?
Is this part of a series?
No.
That's a good question.
Mm. One-off Japanese game for Switch. Was this well-received?
I already asked that.
Oh, sorry.
It was.
Okay.
I still, like, if it weren't for the 3D graphics, I'd be pointing toward Octopath. Are there other exclusive RPGs? Is it Dragon Quest XI port? But I wouldn't call that an exclusive.
But also one-off still.
Mm, good point. That's right. Forgot about that.
The Octos is a pretty good way.
It was a good guess.
Are there other party games like 1-2 Switch that were made by third parties?
He would know that Octopath Traveler doesn't have multiplayer.
Good point.
What about no Monster Hunter is part of it.
And it just, it's definitely not a party game because it's not known for multiplayer at the very least.
Good point.
I have kind of a party house. why am I drawing a blank?
I'm sure it's something super obvious.
Yeah.
Did it?
What about about like your SteamWorld digs and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, those are Swedish or whatever, but yeah, I mean, I take your point. Like something that got a retail release, but isn't like, you know, some big $60 game.
Exclusive is really strange. Because there's also all of the games that just came out, like the fighty games, the platinum games, platinum style games.
Yeah, could be Daemon X Machina.
Yep, or the one that just came out, which is I forget what.
Right,
it's
I'm forgetting Astral for some
Chain.
Reason.
Astral
yes,
Chain.
Thank you.
And weren't there others even from that company?
And nobody knows.
How do we call what we
Astral
call,
Chain is?
Do we call those action games?
Yeah,
yeah.
Climax
does
action.
Daemon call them that. Is this an action game?
Yes.
Wow.
It could be Astral Chain.
Could be Bayonetta 3. No, but it's not part of a series. How can we narrow it down to Astral Chain? I mean, that's Platinum. That's
Was it made by Platinum Games?
Yes.
Is it Astral Chain?
Wait, it's 15.
Okay. Nice.
And also, yes.
Yeah.
It is Astral
very
Chain.
Very nice, very nice. Man, that just came out, too.
Yeah,
it's good. I love it when people pick games like that. It throws us off so much, usually.
Yeah, I think I was thinking to myself, a good question, if you know it's a game on current-gen systems, it'd be good to like ask, like, did it come out this year?
That's what I was going to ask.
Right.
Oh.
I was going to try to narrow it down.
Because that would narrow it down immensely, right?
Did it come out last year?
But
did it come out the year before that? Out,
it before that? Exactly. Like, the Switch has been out for so long when you think about it, so it's too many years.
2.5 years.
Yeah. It'd be three questions.
Damn, is it really only 2.5 years?
Especially for,
you can
like,
handle three questions. That's a good tip.
PS4 and Xbox One, where, like, if someone asked me to picture a PS4 game in my mind, I'm usually picturing, like... like, you know, Tomb Raider. Like, I'm not picturing something from, like, now.
Yeah, that's true.
Or that, like, I'm currently playing or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, apologies again for the technical difficulties that we experienced this week. Hopefully we made it up to you and you still enjoyed the back half of the episode this week. I know that I did.
Damon, did you close the door?
I left it open.
Okay, good.
I cracked it.
All right.
And that is all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
My name is Damon Esaijian, Game Scoop. And we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.